Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, Sports City. I'm trying to slowly get us back, you know, accustomed to things that's going on in the kitchen. Like I said, a lot of stuff has been going on in my life personally, so I have to, you know, push all of the chefs to the side and that and put myself in the forefront and get us back into the grand scheme of things, man. I got to get this fun mode back into the boards. But one of the chefs hit me up and said, you know what, Ty, man? Let's get up in there and do our thing. So you already know what time it is, man. We got 60 minutes in the building, unless y'all call in here and give us some of that good old fire. But I took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The kitchen timeless is alive.
What a thought, I'd be caught in this life. Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait until the sun goes down, we gon' make this bitch light up. Even when the sun goes down, I'ma make it go.
Ow, hoes turning heads like owls. I'm the man of the owl. Triple entendre, don't even ask me how. Con Edison flaunt connected to a high power. Y'all can miss me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold, fuck what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging. I just run the town, I don't do too much jogging.
I run the town, I do a lot of jogging. The calling number is 917-889-959. Like I said, you got the next 60 minutes or more. Locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chef. I got my big brother that said, come on, we got to cook. We got to cook. We got to keep that momentum going. Calling out of the state of Indiana by way of Delaware, Arteezy. Mr. King, welcome to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm feeling good, Thomas. You know, it's always good to be back up inside Sports City serving up these hot dishes. So, man, let's do what we do. And let's light up.
Okay, okay. Now, we got callers at you, so if you'll call or press one, let me know y'all want to get in here. We'll gladly get you involved into the show. I see the caller. Like, they've been waiting to get in the building. But hey, we do got one that's pressed in one. But I do want to lock in to what we got going because one of the callers, I know we can't wait to get things going. But Arcuzzi said, you know what, he want to cook a little bit in Sports City. And you know what, I'm going to sit back and eat a little bit. So, Arcuzzi, I'll let you set us off. Give me a couple of digits to put my fork and knife into it, and let's have at it tonight.
Well, let's just I want to talk a little bit about your team, the Detroit Lions, and their franchise quarterback, the one, Matthew Stafford. So let's start right there. Let us know here inside Sports City exactly how you feel about the extension he signed.
This is a very interesting standpoint that I have, and this is personal because this is the team that I love and follow. Crazy enough, like I want to say about 4 or 5 years ago, they had the same situation addressed in front of Calvin Johnson, making him the highest paid player in the NFL. As a wide receiver, throwing him $137 million, and it looks like the same kind of contract was thrown to Stafford. Even though this is a 5-year extension for $135 million, $92 million of it is guaranteed, which is making him the highest paid player in the NFL. But here's the one thing that I'm looking at. Are you guys looking at maintaining and holding on to Stafford, or are you guys trying to get to the postseason and win games and try to bring a Super Bowl to Michigan? That's what I'm looking at. I was always told in every sport possible, I'm glad we're in Sports City for me to say this, that defense wins championships. And the crazy part about it is the weak point of Detroit that they need to fine-tune is the defense, better yet, the back end, better yet, the secondary, in which, you know, not for nothing, the Steelers just picked up a guy that the Detroit Lions could have used tremendously, you know, like they could have used a guy like Joe Hayden, but and we'll spill into that because we got a lot behind Joe Hayden as well. But I feel like they could have picked up a guy of his caliber to help them out. I think the one thing that frustrates me is Detroit does sit on their hands a lot. They do what they have within their roster and then try to, you know, go throughout the season how it goes down. You got to make moves, you know, to try and win, like whether it's free agency or making a big trade, some type of splash. I think that does have to happen. Locking up Stafford, I know that was, a priority. Of course, they had to keep him there. But, you know, losing a weapon in Anquan Boldin and putting so much pressure on a rookie in Kenny Golladay, and the guy is a great talent out of college as well. I don't know what to expect out of this season because, I feel like, Marvin and Golden, they're two wideouts that can make things happen, but we definitely need that running game to step up. We definitely have to stay healthy also. Decker going down also, being a blindside tackle, he's going to be gone for like the first 6 to 8 weeks. And they have Robinson trying to protect Stafford. So there's a lot that rides on the shoulders of Stafford. And, a lot of these defenses are going to come after him, especially after the season that he had last year with 8 comebacks in one season, which is an NFL record. So I don't even want Stafford to be in a situation of having to come back in these games. Like, I want Stafford to have a lead and hold the lead and let teams know that this dude needs to be reckoned with, not a Detroit Lions fan biting his nails in the middle of the third quarter like, damn, we down 6. Damn, we down 4. Like, we need a touchdown. Like, no, I'm tired of watching that type of football. Like, yes, ultimately the object is to win the game, but it's frustrating, and I'm getting older, and I'm just watching games like that, sweating them out. Your thoughts on the contract, and then I'll get the caller in queue as well.
I had a question as opposed to thoughts. I mean, this is your dish. I'm really not even interested in eating. My question, people really want to hear from you, TP Timeless, is do you think he's worth the money? Like, address that. Was he worth it?
Wow.
Is this money well spent? Don't give me the whole list of the roster. Don't tell me who they need in the secondary. Don't tell me defense wins championships. Tell me, is Matthew Stafford worth the big bucks? Holler at me.
I love my Detroit Lions with all my heart. Some people like their teams. I love Detroit, man. I was with them through that whole 0-16 season. I went through every last drop of anger and disgust. And knowing that we need a quarterback, because at that time when they went 0-16, it was John Kitna, and I could not stand Kitna at all. Could not stand Kitna. But I know we need a quarterback. I know Stafford knows the ins and outs of this team. I think that is a heavy amount of money to throw to Matthew Stafford. That is a heavy amount of money. Yeah, I don't want to be brutal. I have to call it like I've seen it all throughout his career. There were some numbers that they threw out. He's like 5-46 against teams that finished the season over 500. He's not good up against teams on the road. Like, there's some big numbers that are out there. I mean, he's made the postseason, I think, three seasons out of his career, so I give him credit for helping us get to the postseason. I give him credit. But he hasn't won a playoff game, and that actually goes into, earning this money and ultimately getting to a Super Bowl. I know people, when I throw that out there, people laugh, oh, Detroit hasn't been to a Super Bowl ever. The last time they won a championship was in 57 before the Super Bowl era. Yeah, I know. But he has to earn that money. I don't think $135 million to a guy that has a questionable record up against teams that are the upper echelon or the elite teams in the NFL. He's going to have to have more than one season of doing it. He can come out and have a stellar season this year. Hell, he can go to the Super Bowl. He can go to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl, but this has to be continual. This is a five-year extension over $135 million. Like, and 92 of it's guaranteed. He definitely, basically looking at it, he got $100 million in his pocket already. So, I am going to get the call in queue. Wait, say that again?
I said, there you have it.
I know you wanted to put me out there. It's the grill, so the grill's lit. The grill is lit, so we're going to start this one off with a bang. I'm going to get the caller at QCI feels about what we got going on in the kitchen as well. Calling out of the 703, we have in the cookout, Mr. Simmons. Welcome. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm going to say this. It's so damn good to be back in the building. You know what I'm saying? Life has a way of knocking cats down and reminding you that, tomorrow is not promised, but there's something about sports that unifies everybody. Black, white, blue, green, purple, sports unifies everybody, and it's so effing good to be back in the building. Man, King, miss your door. I ain't heard from you in a minute, TP.
Yes, sir.
On the text back and forth, man. Door, it's so damn good to be back. What's up, man?
Okay, so obviously you hear the steak that's on the grill right now. Have at it. Where is it cooking right now? Your thought.
You know, to be painfully honest with you, man, when I saw the amount of money that this dude was getting for being mediocre, I really decided to go get my P90X out and, you know, go to the old football field and start throwing passes and trying to work my way onto the Redskins or something out here. Because if this clown can get that much money for being that bad, my ass got a shot. I swear for Lord. I mean, no disrespect to how a man earns his bread. I mean, you get your bread how you get your bread. It's legal. To get this man that much money for being mediocre. And then I got Lions fans on my social media accounts actually justifying the Lions spending this money on this quarterback. Like, I'm not trying to say he ain't, you know, he's not a good quarterback. I mean, because, again, the man, the stats don't lie. I mean, my man says your player card says what your player card says you are. We understand that. But, dog, this man is below 500 away from home. He's 5 and a million against playoff caliber teams and ain't been out of the second round playoffs his whole damn career, and he's the highest paid quarterback in the league? Come on, man. Nah, I'm sorry. I can't vibe with it. And if I see another Detroit Lions fan trying to justify this, I'm going through the TV and smacking the heck out of somebody. I'm going through my phone and hitting somebody in the head. There's no way you can justify spending that type of bread on somebody who ain't done diddly squat for your franchise. Like, the object is to win. The object is to win against elite competition. The object is to get to the playoffs and win. This brother ain't done nothing but sell jerseys. This brother ain't done nothing but have cats on social media damn near cuss his face off because he done threw in the triple coverage trying to force a ball. This man ain't done nothing but bring his franchise pain and disgust. Hell, Joe Flacco got him a Super Bowl, and y'all know how much I hate that clown. So, no, I'm sorry, bro. No, can't vibe with you. Can't vibe with you.
It's like I said, I know the importance of us having a quarterback, but the money that they could have put way more weapons on the offensive side of the ball. Hell, they could, and since he's picking on my lines, hell, they could go to Pittsburgh and go get Le'Veon Bell, who is from Michigan, because they're having a contract dispute with Le'Veon Bell. Just throw a little piece of meat on the grill. Just ask. Because if they don't try to let me out, Bill, you can come on home. Okay. We'll continue to cook. I like what you're doing. You're making me, you know, I'm comfortable. So Arkeezy, continue to cook. I like it. All
right. So, look. Next up. Little conversation. Let's take it to the defensive side of the ball. You mentioned it earlier when you were speaking about Matthew Stafford and what the Detroit Lions needed in the secondary. Let's put Joe Hayden on the grill. Timeless, I'm coming to you first. Talk about it.
There's a song that came out a little while ago, and I really don't like this artist. But the song is so fitting that I have to say it. I feel some type of way. Like, man, the crazy thing about this is so crazy on why I was saying Detroit sitting on their hands. Now, Detroit has always been the team that gets picked on in the passing game, let alone we have Aaron Rodgers that we deal with two times a season since 2004, if I'm not mistaken. And when he came, he had Brett Favre in front of him. Hell, we had Brett Favre before it was Rodgers, and didn't happen to deal with him. Hell, Cutler was ripping us up a little bit too. That pissed me off. But if you're having problems in the secondary, and Sports City, please excuse me, but I'm about to go there, and I'm going to try my best not to be brutal or go off the deep end. But the Cleveland Browns, I just do not understand, y'all. Between the Cleveland Browns and the New York Jets, I do not understand, y'all. But I'm going to stay in front of Cleveland. Y'all get rid of one of y'all better players on your roster. And then watch your division rivals find him within 24 hours.
It wasn't even 24 hours.
We're going to sign him, and not only going to sign him to like a $1 million deal, no. We're going to give him a 3-year deal for $27 million. We're going to give him $9 million a year for a corner. For a quarter. That's more than what Deion was making. Deion was making $7 million when he signed that contract, when he was getting annual money like that, $7 million a year. Hayden is getting $9 million off the rip per year with Pittsburgh in a system that I feel like can suit him if the front seven, you know, produces that pressure and forces them quarterbacks to make them plays. And I know he's going to be licking his chops when they play Cleveland because he knows almost everything they're going to do. So, personally, Detroit sitting on their hands, watching that happen, watching another team pick them up, I'm severely frustrated. This is a decent pickup. I just want to see what Cleveland saw that they ended up releasing him. I want to see why they release a guy like Joe Hayden. And if he goes to Pittsburgh and he struggles, or he's looking like he's lost a step, or he's not making tackles or something like that, then I'll try to understand where Cleveland's coming from. But for Cleveland to have all of these issues, go with a rookie quarterback when they really thought Brock Osweiler was the guy out the gate. Brock Osweiler, I really think that your NFL career is over. After winning a Super Bowl with Denver, all of the money that you got down there in Houston, they put you in Cleveland, and you couldn't make the throws in Cleveland, and you have a rookie quarterback that really didn't even look good in college at Notre Dame take your spot, Brock Osweiler, I think you may be cooked. But nevertheless, Joe Hayden, of course he's getting that money. Of course he's in a system that can flourish. Not because Sirius is here, but Pittsburgh is a team that can always potentially threat to make the postseason, threat to at least win the AFC North also. And with a guy like Joe Hayden, here comes the Steelers with that defense again. So this is very interesting. But I'm pissed off for all the wrong reasons, to say the least. Okay. I don't know where Arkeevy is, but
I'm right here. There's a lot going on. My apologies. Throw it to Sirius. You know how I go. Y'all been in the kitchen before. Work with me, baby.
You know, to be honest with you, man, I posted something, I think it was late Tuesday or maybe Monday, about what it would take or what it would look like or what will have to transpire in order for Joe Hayden to end up in Pittsburgh. I had no idea that I would wake up today. Yeah, I posted it Monday night, Tuesday night, Tuesday. I had no idea I would wake up today now that they are just jettisoning that man. And so, you know, like everybody else, you know what I'm saying, you play the, you know, the what-if game, the stat and the third, you know, you see the reports on the different networks and you read the alerts that pop up on your phone and this, that, and the third, and it was like, you know, this team and Kansas City and New Orleans. And so, honestly, I didn't, you know what I'm saying? For me, it was a long shot, you know. And then all of a sudden, you know, my Post-Gazette goes off on my phone and it says something like, you know, we're planning to meet with him in North Carolina this afternoon. I was like, yo, let's lock the door. And I'm on the phone with my pops and your pop. Yo, let's lock the door. Let's not let this man out. My dad goes, yo, Aaron, it's about to go down. I'm like, Dad, stop playing with my emotions, Smokey. Stop playing with my emotions. So I'm about doing my business, whatever. My phone lights up, and all my dad says is Hayden. I thought he said Harden. I was like, Dad, Harden? No, come on, not that. Because, I mean, my dad, pops knew him. I mean, he's big Rockets fan, which we'll probably get into a little later. But my dad said, Hayden. I was like, yo, this is ridiculous. So, I'm honestly, real talk, for me, I love the move. I like that we were able to pick him up and sign him for. I think it'll be a tremendous asset to our young defense, especially our young defensive secondary. The problem that I have with him is this. Yes, he's injury prone. Yes, he missed some significant time due to, you know, various injuries and this, that, and the third. But also keep in mind that he is honestly not a zone corner. Okay, we play a lot of zone, and he's not a zone corner. So in order for him to honestly play at his full potential, I believe that it's best that we actually flip and go to a bump and run man, you know, press man coverage. So hopefully, you know, we make the adjustment because I know Artie Burns from that school that, you know, Tyrone likes a little bit, college-wise, you know, they're playing a lot of bump and run when he was in school, so it should be a smooth transition, but we'll see what happens. But, you know, I love the move. I think it'll be really big for us, and welcome to Pittsburgh. Now you ain't going to try to worry about current AB, you know, two times a year. Now you can play with him in practice and get yourself better.
I heard that. So, look, next up on the grill, man, here, Inside Sports City Chef, Cookout Master Chef Edition. We got a couple of suspensions. First one we're going to get to is Vontaze Burfict. Looks like his suspension has been reduced from 5 games to 3. Serious. Your thoughts on Vontaze Burfict?
Okay.
His play last season and the whole suspension.
I'm going to say this, and, you know, I'm going to really, really try to keep the expletive out of what I'm about to say. I really am. However, if there was a guy, a player, a human, alive, this would be that guy. and for me, it honestly goes beyond the fact that he plays for a divisional opponent. You know, I mean, I didn't like Ray Lewis. I respected the heck out of him. I didn't like him. Ed Reed, you know, I didn't like him. Terrell Suggs, but listen, hell, Joe Hayden, didn't like him. Justin Tuck, I mean, I can name players that played in my division that I didn't like but didn't, you know, wish ill will on. This guy here, I do not like him at all. Something like that. I don't agree with the reduction of suspension. This is a guy who is a habitual offender of the rule. You know, Roger Goodell and those talk about tarnishing the quote-unquote brand and punishing swiftly and laying down the law, so to speak, for habitual offenders. This guy here, this is the second straight year that he's missed the first couple games of the year due to his actions on the field. You know, keep in mind, he missed the first 3 games last year for his playoff hit and actions against the Steelers and Antonio Brown the previous postseason. So in a preseason game, he takes out a Kansas City Chiefs player and is now subsequently suspended. You know, and he has the audacity to appeal the suspension based on the fact that there was questionable rule. Hello, I don't care. Here's the thing. If the line is drawn here, and you as a person, as a player, have equal, you know, yearly and game in and game out, inch yourself towards that line, the slightest wind is going to blow your ass over. So why in the world would you constantly get yourself up to that line and then be pissed off when you blow over and then they lay down the law and you, you know, cry wolf and they reduce it again? At one point does Roger Goodell and the league step in and be like, you know what, I don't care if you applaud this. This is not going to go down. Does Tom Brady have to get his ankle rocked over, you know, before it happens? Does a pretty boy Aaron Rodgers or a glamorous quarterback that's not named Roethlisberger have to get twisted up and bent back different before they realize, hey, you know what, this guy Giants does not know how to play the game. You know, it's a damn shame, and I really wish they would just get the dude out of the league.
Gotcha. I understand. It is pretty clear how serious feels about Vontaze Burfict. Timeless, your thoughts on Vontaze?
I don't know where to stand on this situation, especially with Cincinnati, because I don't know what Roger Goodell has toward whether it's Marvin Lewis or the Bengals organization, but continually, you know, situation after situation, these guys get third and fourth and fifth chances, and not to just totally just ride on Vontaze Burfict, but you got to also think this is the organization that housed Pac-Man. This is also the organization that had Chad Johnson in his situations while he was in the league also. And not really trying to call Chad Johnson the problem child to the manner of what Vontaze Burfict and Pac-Man were up to, but Chad also had his issues as well. And Roger Goodell has to figure this out. But this is one thing that I want to throw out this sports thing. I'm actually going to spice this up a little bit. Is other than Tom Brady, when does his suspension stick? When? Every time that he throws out a suspension, it always gets reduced. Like, why? Well, what's going on? Are you really looking at dollars and filling the seats and venues of people coming to the stadiums across the league on the time that he may miss or going to a big city like, let's just say, Cincinnati plays Baltimore? And that's a rivalry game within the first five. You think that less people are going to come there, so you reduce it so he doesn't miss that time, but you made an example out of Tom Brady, took air out of the ball or what have you. Like it's funny. Like, if you're the commissioner, you got to stick to your guns. If you're trying to make examples out of people, then stick to the guns. Stick to the script. But I just don't get it. But Vontaze Burfict, you and Pac-Man, I don't know who is mentoring you guys or fathering you guys' style. You guys got to cut it out. Like enough is enough. You guys are young and about to really mess up your guys' career, to say the least. And it's an unfortunate situation that Vontaze Burfict got a cut from 5-3. And who knows how Cincinnati may end up turning out this year. I really feel like if their defense doesn't hold them down, I mean, it's still a one-trick pony. But they did end up getting some very interesting picks within this draft. But I don't look at rookies having impacts like, you know, Zeke or Randy, or, you know, you don't really have rookies that come out and dominate the league, that, you know, at that capacity. So we have to wait and see how these guys hit the ground running. But other than that, Vontaze Burfict, you've been given a bone. You need to cut it out right now. Right now, and you know, pray that God came and saved you two games on your 16-game season.
Right. There you have it. The thoughts of the chefs here inside Sports City on one Vontaze Burfict. It's going to lead us to Ezekiel Elliott, the Dallas Cowboys, the alleged America's team, right? Talk a little bit about his situation, Timeless, and I believe it's a 6-game suspension he's facing. And why he would consider having it reduced, besides the obvious, and it's about game checks and getting paid.
It's actually carried over as of midnight tonight, it'll be carrying over into day three as they're, you know, looking into the situation, which I really feel like if they did this, and I'm glad that you followed it up right behind Vontaze Burfict with the situation of him getting his games reduced. But if they just reduce Vontaze Burfict's situation, I really feel like they're going to end up doing it for Zeke. I really feel like, just like you said, the quote-unquote, which I don't think they're America's team anymore, until right now, I can't even really think of Dallas being America's team since the 90s, to be honest, because they've been to the postseason a handful of times, but they haven't really made too much noise. But until Tom Brady hangs those cleats up, that's like literally the new American team, the Patriot at that. Like, I don't know. But that you know, give or take how people look at that situation, I just wanted to start up a little controversy here. But, you know, if Zeke can't figure it out, and this is in his second year, he had so many things that tripped him up last year, whether in the preseason him out, and I think it was in Washington or while they were in Colorado, he went to a weed dispensary, they didn't want him to be there. and going throughout the season, doing what he needed to do, then getting caught up, in the situation that he's in right now, removing the girl's top and having that altercation happen at the club. You gotta be around the right people, and knowing that the girl was trying to say that she wanted to mess up his career, so on and so forth. I don't know how much truth is in front of that, but you got to know that you are a millionaire. You are a target in a lot of people's eyes. They want to see things messed up for you. You got to know how to get away from those situations. I don't want to really just say walk away, which is the smartest thing to do is to walk away, but you're young. You got to live through your mistakes and learning lessons in that manner, but it's tough because you never know what could potentially happen. But if they did this for Vontaze Burfict and reducing his suspension, I think Zeke is next up to bat to possibly watch his 6 games probably go to 4 or maybe 3 or 2. We'll see. But I think if they did this for Vontaze, it might be the same accord for Zeke as we approach week 1.
Serious. How do you feel about that? Do you agree with Timeless on the possible reduction in suspension, or do you think his 6-game suspension will stick?
You know, I honestly think that it's going to get reduced. I can see it going from 6 to 4. I don't know. You know, it's unfortunate. This is a very unique and awkward situation, you know, for somebody who hasn't really officially been charged with committing any type of infraction, for him to be facing such a heavy penalty, is quite interesting, you know. So I don't know what type of evidence, you know, the prosecuting, you know, people have. I don't know everything about all that, but I will say this. I have no doubt that it's going to be reduced because, once again, that seems to be the way the NFL is going. You know, no penalty, no suspension levied out by the league is upheld in its entirety anymore anyway. You know, you get suspended for 3 games and you appeal and it gets down to, you know, 2 games, or you get suspended for 1 game. You know, so the NFLPA has done a great job at, you know, getting their players reduced sentences, and you don't understand the third. So it's going to get reduced. It's just a matter of what.
Understood. So possible reduction coming for Ezekiel Elliott of the Dallas Cowboys. We know now that Vontaze Burfict received a reduction in suspension. So as we transition, man, move right along. I'm going to take you back in time. Most recent history, Saturday evening, there was a major event in boxing, headlined by one Floyd Money Mayweather Jr. and Conor McGregor of, you know, mixed martial arts, MMA, UFC champion. It's like the first sports spectacle in the sense of its kind in recent history that kind of had a legitimacy to it, right? I thought this is going to be different. Can the referee control the mixed martial arts guy and keep him from, you know, making moves that are not legal in boxing against Floyd Mayweather? Because it was a lot of intensity during weigh-ins and promotions of this fight as it was coming into its showtime, right? So, Sirius, just let me get your views, man, your opinion, what you thought of the event. Did McGregor impress you at all in his attempt to box with Floyd? And do you think Floyd, you know, did exactly what he said he was going to do, and that was bring the fight?
You know, I honestly looked at the fight. I was encouraged by the fight. I was actually impressed with McGregor. It looks like he, you know, did his homework a little bit. He actually got in the gym and, you know, whomever was speaking in his ear, giving him tips on how to box and whatever, I think he did extremely well. I honestly believe that this should be an asterisk. And again, I respect, you know, what Floyd Money Mayweather has done. I give him all the respect in the world, going 50-0 and, you know, all the accolades that comes with that and the money that he's made and this, that, and the third. I give him all of that. However, you got your 50th win in a boxing match versus a mixed martial artist. I'm no easy feat. I mean, I couldn't get in there and do any better. However, it would have solidified it for me a little more if he was actually in there with the actual boxer. But I digress. That's another conversation for another day. You know, I was impressed with the build up to the fight. I felt like the fight lived up to the hype that, you know, it generated. I feel as though if, you know, Conor McGregor really wanted to pursue boxing as opposed to mixed martial arts in the UFC, if he got some tutelage and worked with, you know, worked his craft a little bit more, there's no doubt in my mind that he'll be able to succeed in that. You know, you saw some great things out of Conor McGregor and his camp during the boxing aspect of things, but you know, I was impressed with everything.
Interesting. I pretty much was impressed as well. I'm not going to lie. Timeless. What did you think?
I'm going to give you two different perspectives, right? Now, at the first sight of, you know, first sight of watching the fight, Sports City, I'm going to be brutally honest. I'm pissed off. Like, I'm highly pissed off because I'm like, wait, Floyd is not throwing a punch. This isn't even Floyd, right? Like, I'm like, what's going on? Like, so now in my head, because everybody that I've been talking to close to me, I'm like, watch Floyd put some butter on this fight, take the fall, and get double of what he's getting. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, yo, he's not even trying to hit Conor. In the first two rounds, Floyd threw 12 punches total. That is never a total for Floyd. So it didn't come to me what I'm about to get to, right? So the third round, now Floyd starts to pick it up to make it challenging. So then this is where the tide started to turn, where some people still gave the third round to Conor. The fourth round is where it looked like Floyd was back into the fight. After the fourth round, this is where Pretty Boy Floyd, or Money, however you want to look at it, took, you know, action into the fight. So then comes the sixth round, it's looking like he's not only gaining ground, but it's looking like Conor could potentially end up getting hurt. The seventh round, it gets interesting. This is when I looked at the people around me. I said, if Conor still looks sluggish in the eighth round, he's going to get knocked out. You could ask everybody that was around me while we were watching the fight. The eighth round, Floyd starts tattooing him, and I'm like, this is the Floyd that I know. Ninth round goes, and he's looking like Conor couldn't even get his arms up. He couldn't even get his arms up in the 10th round. That's when he ended up getting technically knocked out. Ref stopped the fight. In which, where I said I was going to get to, Floyd pulled the rope-a-dope. I guess we get to call it the 2017 rope-a-dope instead of, you know, 1974 when he did it to Muhammad Ali, did it to George Foreman. He did a rope-a-dope and let George punch himself out. That's exactly what he did to Conor. Conor, even if he fought a full five-round fight in MMA, even if they're five-minute rounds, he's never gone past 25 minutes. And Floyd actually called it exactly to a T. He's like, I'm going to let him do everything that he wants to do and watch him get tired. And the crazy part about it is Floyd watching him get tired, I actually put up a post. There's a boxing trainer that called exactly how Floyd was going to fight Conor, and everything turned out exactly how he said it. He said, watch by about the third, fourth, or fifth round. You know Conor's about a full inch taller than Floyd. He said, watch Floyd start standing tall and Conor start to slow down and play smaller. And exactly how he said it was exactly how Floyd fought. And I'm going to curse, Sports City. I'm going to curse. This is where Roger Mayweather says, most people don't know shit about boxing. And that's exactly what happened. Is Conor thought that, it was not even just Conor, the world, because this is a billion-dollar fight, people. Floyd ended up, he really ended up getting $350 million. Man, I'll fight anybody for $350 million. Anyway, he watched this dude get tired in front of him and started tattooing him, and Conor couldn't even keep his hands up because he's used to grabbing, doing arm bars, kicking, you know, not really having to protect or guard his face or his body. And Floyd was taking his wind out of his sails, hitting his stomach and taking that air out of him and watching him get weaker and weaker as the rounds progress. Floyd has always been a guy to carry people into deep waters and win these fights. So technicality and the way that Floyd did it, I give him a tremendous amount of respect on fighting Conor's type of fight and continuing to come after him, because a lot of people say, well, Floyd gets on his bike. Floyd is on his bike all the time. He runs. He's running and hugging. He's running and hugging. Well, guess who was hugging this time? And guess who was running this fight? It wasn't Floyd hugging and running. It was Conor. At that. So it you know, Conor, I give you respect for actually going into that ring and fighting Floyd and boxing at that. Because, you know, of course, if he fought in a UFC or MMA bout, Floyd would get hurt because he could do so many different things to Floyd. But the way that Floyd actually kind of, I guess he game planned or blueprinted this one out, that's phenomenal work, Floyd. That is phenomenal work. And there's other trainers across the boxing world that said, and including Canelo, said Floyd toyed with him and said he did whatever he wanted to do with Conor, and exactly what he did was let Conor punch himself out and get tired in the first quarter of the fight. Like, he didn't even get to the halfway point, and Conor was tired already. So, Floyd, I give you a ton of credit for dictating that situation.
Yeah, you know, it's the money team, man. All I can really say about the whole thing is I thought it was an event that, for me, lived up to the hype. It was actually pretty entertaining, and that's all it really boils down to for me as a fan of sport. It was sporting. It had some drama, and at the end of the day, though, knowing what I know about the fight game, the man who was supposed to win won the match, but I was thoroughly entertained in that process. So, you know, with that being said, guys, I'm gonna turn the corner. I'm going to throw something else fresh on the grill. You know, it may seem like it's a few days old, but it's the first time we all been in the kitchen together in a minute. So I'm going to take you back to actually August 22nd when the NBA rocked our worlds with the Kyrie Irving, Isaiah Thomas trade. Kyrie leaving the Cleveland Cavaliers in a swap for Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, and that coveted Brooklyn Nets number one pick or first round pick unprotected, which we expect to be, you know, a top three pick overall. I want to get your guys' thoughts on that and the fact that because of Isaiah Thomas's hip injury, the deal seems to maybe have hit a little bit of a snag, and the Cavaliers are seeking further compensation. What do you think about the initial trade when you heard it, and do you think it's going to be rescinded or it's going to be upheld? Thomas, I'm coming to you first.
I kind of wanted you to go to serious first, but Sports City, let me just allow myself to go first. And Arkeezy's been sitting there chilling, but I'm going to start him up. He got a problem, I'm going to start him up. Now, me and Arkeezy talked about this throughout this week, and we got into a big argument, people. We got into a big argument in this discussion. Yes, me and my big brother, I ain't going to lie. So, wow, I don't even know where to start in this manner. Isaiah, I kind of want to remove you from the discussion because you really don't have too much to do with it other than being one of the biggest pieces in this trade to end up going to Cleveland. But your health manner or health factor, if you will, is hurting the situation. Now, Kyrie comes out and basically says he doesn't want to play with LeBron. He's ready to get away from Cleveland, start anew, do his own thing. And I'm wondering, yeah, Sports City, I'm going to throw my bias in there. I'm wondering if he's seen Russ do it, is a situation that he wanted to go off and do it himself. And not just to say he called and going to Boston, but he couldn't predict what team he was going to go to. But is this the challenge that he throws on his back to go out there and do? Which, to me, I think this is a bad move by Kyrie asking for this. While you guys have went to the past three championships, Now, I know that there's warrior mentality and everybody that plays a competitive sport, but there's no guarantee that the Celtics are getting to the Eastern Conference Final. Let's just say that. Or the NBA Finals. You walk away from LeBron, where I think the NBA is trying to highlight him as best as possible so he can potentially continue to keep winning the Eastern Conference and carrying Cleveland there. And you're walking away from it, whether you're going to get more money, whether you're going to get more touches, whether you're going to get more shots up, so on and so forth. That somewhat bothers me, when you could actually get this done easier with one of the best players in the league that's helping you do your thing. I don't think LeBron is unselfish. I don't even want to say I know LeBron is unselfish. LeBron actually gives you the ball so you can take these shots. What didn't you see? What, because he was talking in a definitive manner while you guys were in the huddle? Like, don't be a crybaby. Don't be a crybaby. That's the one thing that bothers me about Kyrie, because Kyrie has the potential to score 40. I think he's between him, Russ, James Harden. Those are the three guards in the league that I think are virtually unguardable. No, let me. There's another guard, too. Curry at times could be unguardable. There's probably a few. I'm missing some of the guards as well. I think a lot of them could be unguardable or guarded at some times. But virtually throwing that situation out there that you could be unguardable and have pieces around you that can get the job done. But you leaving Cleveland or wanting to leave Cleveland and them answering your wishes, I'm scratching my head. Now, this is where me and Roy started to argue. Isaiah Thomas, I love you as a player. I'm not going to sit here and act like I don't like your style or love your style. The competitive nature of you being a 5'9", 5'10" guard and going off and having scoring tangents. But here we go. To me, Sports City, I don't think Isaiah Thomas is a starting point guard in the NBA. I don't. I know.
What
this
to
is where
say?
We started. This is where me and Roy started to go at it.
That's a fire.
Look, hold on. This is where I throw the lighter fluid on the grill. This is what I'm talking about. To me, Isaiah Thomas, and I might take people back to where they didn't see this NBA at before, and this is why I threw the Royce, because me and Royce can deal with these conversations. I look at Isaiah Thomas like I look at Vincent Johnson. If you don't know who Vincent Johnson is, his nickname was the Microwave. He would come off that bench, and he'd already be ready to score. He's ready to shoot. As soon as he caught the ball, he let it go. He starts scoring. That's how I look at Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas could be that type of guy that can get you 25, 26, 27 points a game because he's giving those touches, especially within the offense of the Boston Celtics. But when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, when he's playing these tough teams, he's going against these tough guards. I can't think of one point guard in the league that he can actually, like, hold to, like, 25 points. That's a challenge, like, I'm looking at. Like, I can't think of any point guard that he can slow down or put his toes in the ground and, like, I'm going to play defense and follow this dude to the bathroom type of defense. I don't see that in Isaiah Thomas. And especially now that they're looking at his physical and he's damaged. That's the word that they're using. He said, I'm not damaged. You're defending the fact that your hip is messed up. Like, that's real. Don't you know that other point guards smell blood in the water? They smell blood in the water when you're hurting out there. What? These guards are cracking. Picture Kimber. Like, in the Eastern Conference is loaded with tough point guards. They're going to be ready, willing to crack them, but I want to see him prove that physical wrong and prove me wrong that you are a starting point guard in the league. Yes, you can score, but what else could you do on the floor? And to me, scoring is the easiest thing to do in basketball. You know what the toughest thing to do in basketball is? Rebound and play defense. Period.
I beg to differ, but serious, I'm going to let you get at him first. Take care of that light work.
I don't even know what it can. Like, Like, I'm sitting here with Kevin Hart dumb face on because I don't even know where to begin with that. This brother actually came on national radio and said, Isaiah Thomas is not a real legit point guard. Like, really? And you base that off because he has trouble playing defense? Okay.
Steve Nash, two-time MVP. Can't play defense.
Like,
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I got you one better. I got you one better.
I
got you one better. There's a guy right now who just signed a $205 million contract that plays in Golden State that gets dogged all game long because he can't strap up neither. Period.
He can't.
Name me the last point guard that Steph strapped up. I'll wait. You ain't got that much time. I've rushed my case, bro. Come on now. You can't sit there and tell me that.
Right.
That boy.
Right. What happened when they were in the Eastern Conference final and him and Kyrie were going back and forth, trading shot for shot? Who ended up getting the better end of that?
The fans were entertained. That's what happened.
Let me tell you something.
If you're basing your argument on the fact
that Isaiah Thomas can't play defense, and you come back at me with what happened at Eastern Conference Finals when he and Kyrie were trading buckets, you just defeated your own point because Kyrie don't stop him either.
Here's the difference, though. I look at Kyrie differently. I think Kyrie does play better defense than Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas will get bully balled until his career is over. He will get. He's a kid on the floor. Like that's what I'm saying. Like 5'9" in the league, they're gonna bully him. I've seen Kyrie actually play better defense. Believe me, I've seen.
Somebody
it. Killed seen.
Timeless Mike.
Hold on. The crazy part is, I look at Isaiah Thomas. He came into the league on the bench. He made a move to another team, was on the bench. This is the first team where he got his starting opportunity.
Bro.
This is the first team.
Ty, listen to this. In 2011, Kyrie Irving was the number one overall draft pick.
Correct.
In 2011, Isaiah Thomas was the final number 60, the 60th overall draft pick. They just got swapped. They just got swapped out. So are you saying Kyrie sucks? He should have been 60th? Or is somebody saying we made a mistake and Isaiah could have been the number one overall pick?
I think that the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Does anybody care that either guy can defend?
I think the Cleveland Cavaliers wanted to put him in a situation where they can't put him in a championship situation. Period. Look,
what?
Why would they help him go to the Spurs? He wanted to go to the Spurs. Why would they help him do that?
Bro. Who got more chips, the Spurs or the Boston Celtics organization?
Oh, all together the Celtics.
All
correct.
Right then. So how are they not
as a,
putting
as
them in
a,
the championship situation?
No. We're not
the
talking
organization
about
knows
wait, hold,
how to
hold,
win,
hold
bro.
On. See, this is why I like how we cook it. I like how we cook it right now. We're not going to talk about legacy because the majority of them championships came when it was
a lot of teams
in the NBA, and it was the
when the last time San Antonio won?
The last time the Spurs won was against the Heat in, 2013?
Completely irrelevant, right? It's not about who won of
I mean, it's more relevant than
it's about having an idea of how to get it done versus, like, if they didn't want him to have a chance at winning a chip, they should have sent him to Minnesota because they've never won a chip. That organization doesn't know how to get to the Western Conference Finals consistently, let alone get to the NBA Finals. That's what you do. You send them to Sacramento.
Right, but there's pieces in Minnesota now. There's pieces with the Wolves now.
Irregardless, you're only as good as the organization. the Boston Celtics have 17 banners hanging. They know how to get there. They know how to get there. That means they'll spend the money, they'll hire the coaches, they'll get the role players and the stars to get the job done. They know exactly what is in the recipe for winning championships.
Royce, exclude Kyrie, right? Who on that team like has like postseason seasoning? Let's see what cooking like postseason seasoning now that Jay Crowder and all of them are left. I'll wait to hear the names now since you want to throw like the 80s, 70s, 60s, and 50s Celtics into this conversation. Just tell me who.
Wow, is that where you thought I was going? Okay, so let me see.
No, that's not where you're going. I'm asking a question.
Terry Rozier was in the postseason.
Talk to him.
Al Horford was in the postseason. Aaron Baines has been in the postseason. Marcus Morris has been to the postseason, been in the playoffs. Jaylen Brown has been in the playoffs. Come on, bruh. The organization has been in the playoffs. The coaching staff has been in the playoffs. Bro, for the last 2 or 3 years, have not the Boston Celtics team been in the postseason?
Are we naming names that just got to the postseason? Are we naming names that got to the postseason? Are we naming names that could get them to the potential finals?
I answered the question you asked. Now are you remixing your question because I shut it down?
Not at all. Because they just got to the postseason last year. Wait. They got to the postseason last year, so you're gonna name the roster. You name Rozier and these guys, like these guys are
You obviously did not. Did not watch.
One of your favorite players, Jaylen Brown, still has to prove himself. Like he's good. He's good.
Last year's playoffs. There's a reason. There's a reason why any team with a high draft pick player on the roster wants to make the playoffs to get that pick experience. He can carry them today, but hopefully tomorrow he will help us be serviceable and not be a deer in the headlights of what is postseason basketball. That's all it's about, Thomas. That's what I'm saying, bro. Like, what's next? Pitch another one so I can swing away at it.
And the crazy part is the only one I look at that I can give you relevance to, and he's not ready for the lights, is Al Horford. Al Horford is the only one that I try to give some credit to.
How many times has Al been in the postseason?
What are you saying
that you're not saying to qualify or disqualify these names that have been in the playoffs? Because we all know Al Horford is no franchise player. Kyrie Irving, franchise player. People did not think Isaiah Thomas was a franchise player, but for every guard, every organization put in front of them, he has destroyed them. From Sacramento,
Who starts for the Cavaliers? Derrick Rose or Isaiah Thomas? Who starts?
Easy. Isaiah Thomas. That's too easy. Come on, bruh. Are you serious? You really think Derrick Rose got starter game left? Man, anytime you can scour the internet, Ty, and find a story that says my son is the reason why I'm still playing. Whoa, what? Like sounds noble, sounds honorable, but a killer, a basketball lover, a hooper. It's not going to start off with that and say, like, that's why he's playing. A hooper is hooping because he loves hooping. And Derrick Rose is no longer a hooper. Get off of what he was and deal with what he is. He is no longer a hooper. He is a businessman. And that's his job. That's the business that he punches the clock at, basketball. He ain't no hooper. He ain't league MVP no more. He'll never be league MVP again. He'll
never make another All-Star team. He will never be another All-NBA player.
No way he's starting over Isaiah Thomas.
I don't know you ask that type of question, Todd. Like, well, it's all you ask that type of question because, again, IT is a hooper. That little boy can play ball. So
IT
to ask
would
the question, he's going to start.
Derrick Rose right now.
Come on now.
They're questioning his lips. I don't even know if he has 82 games in that body. I don't think he had 82 games in that body. I don't.
Thomas, it was already clear before the trade. It was clear before the trade that he wasn't ready to come back and play at the start of the season.
I'm looking at the same scenario that happened to one of my favorite point guards because he was injury prone, and that was Baron Davis. And Baron Davis was a killer when he was getting into the pool.
You're talking about injury prone? Like my man just had a significant injury in the postseason. We'll acknowledge that it was a significant injury in the postseason. It's his first significant injury. Now everybody's trying to say, like, they don't know how it's going to heal. They don't know what it's going to do. Like, I get it. You don't know. But it's just hype, man. It's just drama. I'm not saying the man is ready to go in training camp, that he's going to, you know, be ready for opening night when Cleveland takes on Boston. Before the trade was ever discussed, Boston knew that he wasn't going to be ready at the start of the season. No one's expecting him to play 82 games this particular season. We know that. But to say, like, yo, he's not an NBA starter, like, the dude was in the MVP conversation, not sixth man of the year conversation, league MVP. You can't win league MVP and not be a starter. When the hell has that ever happened? What are you talking about?
That is this given season. Just like I said, when he scored his – well, how much did he average this season? You would know the play call. How many points did he average this season?
Over 25.
Yeah, let's just say in the ballpark of 25. Let's just say that. Right now, with him in Cleveland, that number is going to drop. That number is going to drop, especially with an unselfish LeBron, where LeBron is going to give him the ball to do his thing. It's not like LeBron's dominating the ball. LeBron is going to give him opportunities to get that ball, but I guarantee he does not average near 25 a game. Guarantee.
Chill out. Kyrie averaged 25.2 next to LeBron.
Right, that's a different guy.
So you're trying to tell me you don't think Isaiah Thomas can play next
all,
to
dog.
Mr. Unselfish LeBron James and still average 25?
Not at all,
he's
dog. Not at all.
Not at all, dog. Man, look, listen. The
17,
man actually 17 averaged.
A game.
Listen,
17 a game.
Listen, pause.
17 a game.
Pause. Last season, Isaiah actually averaged 29 points a game at 28.9 to be exact. So to give up 4 points because he's running next to the GOAT is easy to do.
Wait, LeBron is the greatest of all time too now?
He ain't to you. You still smoking Jordan?
So LeBron is the greatest of all time.
You still smoking Jordan?
The grill is on complete fire right now. Oh my God, are you serious? Okay, fair enough. I'm not buying that by any means. I'd love
you don't
to
have to.
Right.
You don't have to.
Okay, I'll leave it alone. I'll leave it alone. I will completely leave it alone. But that's heinous. That is out of your mind talk.
It is absolutely not. We all know anybody with a half a freaking brain, let's just be clear about it. There are so many greatest of all time players. The fact that everybody is hung up on one name, Michael Jordan, acts like there can be an arguable debatable conversation and allow any and every person to have their own view of who the greatest of all time is asinine, as your boy Stephen A. would say. Because if you're going to say, Michael Jordan got more chips than LeBron, I'm going to say then Bill Russell is obviously the greatest of all time.
Right. Right.
Say Bill Russell.
I didn't say Bill Russell.
You think Bill Russell's the greatest of all time?
Not at all. Different era. Different era where the Celtics were dominating
it's
basketball. They
all
had a
time.
Full
no, he can't be greatest of all era. So Michael Jordan's era that came along after Bill Russell's era means that somehow you can justify saying Michael Jordan is the greatest of all time? Like there was never a Julius Dr. J Irving that preceded Michael Jordan? That the best of Dr. J, the average casual fan, even the diehard NBA fan, probably didn't even see all his exploits in the ABA. Michael Jordan is the greatest of all time with a guy like Julius Dr. J. Irving? You still think Michael Jordan is the greatest of all time over the all-time leading scorer, the most dominant shot ever in the game of basketball that now nobody even wants to shoot it, the sky hook, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, a.k.a. Lou Alcindor?
Did you still think Michael Jordan is
the greatest of all time?
Right. I'll tell you like this. I wouldn't even put LeBron in a conversation with Magic Johnson.
They the same type of player. So Magic Johnson is the greatest of all time. You don't think Magic the greatest of all time?
Accolades under a belt in
you don't think
time.
Magic Johnson the greatest of all time? Magic Johnson is not a guy that you could argue as the greatest of all time versus Michael Jordan.
I would love to put Magic in that conversation. I would love to.
What do you mean love
Magic
to put him in the conversation?
Hold on. Magic in 11 seasons won 5 championships, went to 9 NBA finals. 9 in 11 seasons. 9.
Don't nobody care
about
the rings, man.
LeBron,
the rings are overrated in the last 10 years, bro. In this last decade, rings have become overrated when you're discussing individual performers. Championships are team rewards. To be declared and decreed a Hall of Famer or an greatest of all time player, it's only about what you've done individually over the course of your career, with or without a championship. If you're talking greatest of all time, period. You wouldn't consider Oscar Robinson a greatest of all time individual, personality, person to talk about. He doesn't have 3 rings. He got 1. He averaged a career triple-double. And everybody losing their mind because Russell Westbrook averaged a triple-double for a season? Bruh, there are at least 5 to 10 people we could talk about and have a legit discussion on greatest of all time. But you sound like a robot that don't want to hear no names compared to Michael Jordan. Because the beneficiary of a machine, bruh, of a program. I'm not running on that program. My mind is free, bro. I'm Neo. I'm not caught up in that matrix. You sound like John Smith. You sound like an
agent. Not at all. Look. I would love to entertain the other names in that conversation.
LeBron James is better than Michael Jordan.
LeBron is not in that conversation.
LeBron's better than Mike.
No, he's not. I don't.
Yeah,
we could agree to disagree. We're going to agree to disagree.
I'm saying that to all the fans out there that want to talk crazy right now.
And I'm not supporting that at all.
You ain't got to
before you even put LeBron in Mike's conversation, he can't even hold a candle to Magic Johnson. I'll say that. How about that? I'll do that.
Okay. So what has LeBron done that neither one of those guys has done?
What has LeBron done?
Answer it. Look at it. It's obvious. How many times has he been to the final straight?
He's been to the final, what, 7 times in a row? 8 total?
With how many different teams?
2 different
teams.
2,
right?
Right.
So it don't matter who he's playing for. He's in position. He's in position at the end. There can be only one. There can be only one champion every season. 30 teams, one champion every season. And for the last 8 seasons, 7 to 8 seasons, I'm in the top 2, but I'm not great. Listen, bro. Mike went 1, 2, 3. I'm tired. I need a break. I'm confused. I need to play baseball. Come back after
tired.
2 years and then
he
run off 1, 2, 3. Do you know how hard it
is,
bro? Do you know how hard it is? You know how hard it is to start training camp in September and play to June for 7, 8 years in a row? The demand on the body and on the mental.
If Mike continue to play
because LeBron don't play with Kobe killer mentality as I got to shoot every time I touch the ball, you don't think he got the same mental toughness as those guys?
Not at all, dog.
You're crazy.
Not at all.
You're crazy.
Oh.
You're crazy.
Oh.
You're absolutely crazy.
Oh,
you're
no.
When
LeBron wanted to turn it on this year was when the game was already out of reach, when he kept taking Kevin Durant up to the hole and was laying the ball up, dunking on him because they couldn't stop him from getting to the lane. You should know when to turn that on. Like, not even to be like, oh, he needs to have that killer mentality, but it's the truth. It's the truth. By the way, I'm being told outside of the kitchen right now that the Kyrie deal has been made official. The Cleveland Cavaliers are getting a second-round pick in the 2018 draft.
Okay. Sounds good. Kyrie is worth it. Because LeBron James declared that Kyrie Irving will one day be league MVP. That's why Boston made that deal. And there was no way the league would ever vote Kyrie Irving league MVP while playing next to LeBron James, because LeBron is that good. He's that great. Goat. Dare
fair
I
enough.
Say.
We will agree to disagree. This is an opinion. That's his opinion. That's my opinion. I disagree severely. I'd at least give – and one of the names that he mentioned I put in front of LeBron. Cause I put Kareem in front of LeBron. I put Mike in front of LeBron. I put Magic in front of LeBron. There's names there before I can just start saying LeBron in there. Like, stop. Hell, the guy that's been the architect of putting these championship teams together, Jerry West, is one of the names that I put there. Like, come on, man. I'm not. No.
Yeah, I feel you. Well, we made it hot, man. Look, we back. Sports City, doing what we do. We gave him a little OT timeless. We over the 60.
Of course. That's what I said. I said we may potentially go over 60 and what a topic. He fed me the football, but he came with the lights. With that basketball talk, man, I knew what would happen. I knew what would happen. And I had to, you know, present the situation that we did get into discussing this. But you're getting the wrong cook right now and how that went down the last time we had this discussion. You're getting it on air, on the grill right now. And, Royce, don't you ever in your life say Stephen A. Smith is my boy at all. In your words, buffoonery, okay? Buffoonery. Okay. Now, I need plug, close out, shout out, anything that you would like to do as we shut it down here at the cookout. Excellent stuff. I knew this was the way that it would go down. I was ready. I feel like I'm the Black Skip Bayless right now. You already know what to do, Arkeezy.
You know what it is, man. Social media, you can find me at Royce King Sports. Check out the site, RoyceKingSports.com. We got a lot going on. I'm not going to toot my own horn. I'll just acknowledge that the work that we've been putting in, you know, God has been favorable and given us an opportunity to take another step in our officiating career. Been hired this offseason by the Heartland Collegiate Conference, the Midwest Conference, the Northern Athletic Collegiate Conference, and CCIW. That's College Conferences of Illinois, Wisconsin. It's all Division III. I believe that there's an opportunity for more growth and development at the Division II, Division I level. So keep your boy in your prayers, man, as we're working hard out here on these courts, you know, doing what we love to do and still chopping it up right here inside Sports City.
I don't care what he says, Sports City, whether it's JUCO, whether it's D3, D2, D1, as long as he's doing something positive, he know I support him. And that's something. That's more than a lot of people that are chilling at home and not doing something for themselves. And this is actually a goal that he's been talking to me before he even got on the court and put the stripes on. So I'm proud to hear that he's being, you know, proactive and progressive, man. And I'm grateful, and I didn't mean to curse right there, but I feel some type of way. Like, I'm honored that this is my big brother that I can go to on any given situation. Hell, we just argue right now about ball like we always do. That's what we do here in the kitchen, man. And that's what he's doing. He's actually judging and calling games, like, for real. So, man, y'all getting it raw here in Sports City, man. Like I said, I'm warming back up to get this kitchen back to where we need it to be. And what better than to have that type of debate that me and RTV will go at it. But Sports City, I need y'all to give me like a email or a text or something, because I got to try and come up with a new nickname for RTV because he just switched it up on me. So I got to try and do something. I was thinking like R Sizzle, but that might be funny.
No, it's Royce King Sports, brother.
Right. But the S is involved now. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I gotta try to switch it up because Arkeezy, I had to go with, you know, with the way Mrs. King had brought this boy in the world. You know what I'm saying? So I gotta try to switch it up because he's trying to switch it up on me, Sports City. He's trying to switch it up. You know what I'm saying? So, as you see, he's trying to bring the grill. He's trying to throw the heat at me. Talk about, seriously, take care of the light work. I'm light work? Are you out of your mind? Wait. You don't know who I am. Do you know? Wait, hold up. Lower your tone and keep your hands on the SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, and then check us out on the Twitter, the Facebook pages. We will be promoting more shows as this holiday weekend is upon us. I do have the college campus tailgate coming along. We got more chefs coming in. We got new chefs involved as well, hearing new voices, new names. We still got some more people that you guys know so well in Sports City. And like I said, I got to get my legs back up under me out of the past couple of months with everything that's been going on in my life. The chefs have nothing to do with it. It was me trying to get my mind right. But I got great support. I got a great big brother. And as I'm going to say right now, Arkeezy, even though I got to help me find a new nickname, RKS. I got to do something like that. I got to, even though he wanted me to use a Royce King Sports, and the S is involved. That's why he did Royce King Sports. He think I ain't awesome. He think we ain't, man, we blood, man. He already knows what Sports City, man. I'm happy. Like, we got into a great debate, man. Just check us out, man. We're going to get the Crossover Cafe back flocking. We got to do our both Eastern Conference and Western Conference. I did want to talk about the Houston situation. We didn't get to that. We had topics that we talked about that we were going to get to. We didn't even get there. just because it's that good old feeling back in Sports City. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the Chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
What about I'd be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait until the sun goes down, we gon' make this bitch light up.
triple entendre. Don't even ask me how. Con Edison Florence connects to a high power. Y'all can miss me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold. Fuck what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging. I just run the town. I don't do too much jogging. The summer's off, the winter too. Top down in the winter, that's what winners do. And to these niggas, I'm like Windows 7. You let them tell it, they swear that they invented you. And since no good deed go unpunished, I'm not as cool with niggas as I once was. I once was cool as the funds was. But these bright lights turn me to a monster. Sorry, mama, I promised you wouldn't change me, but I wouldn't win insane had I remained the same me. Fuck me, this is true. All I got is this money.
Who would have thought I'd be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up.